The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
We are looking at assessing the heritage of destiny declaration. This is part two. Assessing the heritage of destiny declaration. And the pastor has said a lot about our heritage, which is destiny declaration. And made us understand that this is our heritage. This is what belongs to us. This is what has been given us. And we don't want to trade it for anything. Now, we read in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 12, that this is, Jesus came and he died for us. And the Bible made us understand that to him belong honor, power, dominion, wisdom, Revelation 5:12. That it belongs to him because we are in Christ. This is our heritage. Same with a loud voice. What is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing? Somebody say amen. Say that is for me. Now, this is what we have been given. This is what amazing is, some believers are not living up to that. And that was what King Solomon expressed in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 from verse 5 to 10. Verse 5 to 7. Say, there is an evil that I've seen. Say, this is an error. Ecclesiastes 10, 5 to 7. He said, there is an evil. Somebody say evil. He said, I saw this evil under the sun as an error. Say, this is error. Somebody say error. Now, if you are operating your laptop and then you want to press something, maybe you are coding, and it's giving you error signs. Say, pum, pum, pum. That error denies you access. If you're about to log in on your email or whatever it is, maybe your social media page, and then you don't have correct password, there will be a message given to you that, no, this is a mistake. There's an error somewhere. Is that your username is not correct or your password is not correct? There's an error. And because of that error, access is denied. The wise man who ever lived before Jesus said, this is an evil. This is an error. And what is that error? What is that error? Let's continue reading. In verse 6, he said, fully he set in great dignity, and the rich sit in no place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the head. Said, this ought not to be. It's an error. And it's an evil thing. In other words, somebody who is destined for greatness is living like a servant. He said, this is an error and it's an evil. I heard a man speaking and he said, he is poor and is proud that he is poor. Immediately, I changed the thing. I said, I refuse to digest this kind of thing in my spirit. What an oxymoron. How can you be poor and at the same time be happy? You deceive yourself, brother. You see why people are not living to the destiny given to them? I have a question to ask you. Is poverty part of the package? No. Answer me now. Is poverty part of the package? Now, how come the man said that he's poor and he's happy? The greatest deception in life is not the deception of the devil, it's self-deception. Self-deception is a result of ignorance. Ignorance is the result of fooling. Fooling is a result. Praise the Lord. I don't want to use the word. You see, life, as a child of God, we need to understand what has been given us. There are two types of destiny. There's a natural destiny. You go to school and you study medicine, chances is that you're going to be a doctor or a nurse. You go to school, you study law, chances is that you're going to become a lawyer. You go to school and then you study architecture, chances are you're going to be in an architecture. This is a natural destiny. It's been created. Every man that walks on the face of life, his work has a natural destiny given them. But that is a divine destiny that God himself created for his kid. And this divine destiny is only found in Christ. Once you receive Jesus into your heart and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, something is credited into your account. And there is a path that you are to follow, which is a path of divine destiny. And then, so for you to fulfill this destiny, you've got to know what the Word of God says. You've got to know what Christ has made available for you. You've got to know that which is legally yours. And then once you discover that this is yours, then you walk towards it and ensure that it's vitally yours. Jesus did not die in vain, brother and sister. He died for you and he obtained an inheritance for you and I. And that destiny is what you and I ought to pursue to fulfill in life. Somebody wants to ask, what is divine destiny? Oh, fine. It's what God has made, has provided in Christ that is towards the progress and the advancement of his kingdom and the betterment of human being. This is, you see, health is part of it. Wealth, you just read it. Dominion is part of it. And we don't want to compromise it, like I said, for anything. So, we saw here that many are not living up to this, and Pastor told us some of the reason is that because scripture cannot be broken. In other words, you cannot act like this and expect the word of God to fulfill in your life. We can't. Look at the scripture we read, our call to worship, Psalm 1. He told us, I love it. You see, every man's destiny is written in this book. This is divine encyclopedia of a man's journey in life. You want to know where you are heading to, get into this book. You don't need a diviner to tell you. You don't need a prophet to tell you. Just get it. Look at that scripture. It said, blessed is the man. It told us, there are two types of man. The Bible was talking to here. There's a righteous man and there's an ungodly man. And it told us, it said, the righteous man, in verse 3, it told us, it said, whatever you do shall prosper. In verse 4, it told us, Psalm 1 in verse 4, he said, the ungodly are not so. The last verse, verse 16, he said, the righteous, can we have that screen so that I will not paraphrase? Verse 6, the last verse. Okay, verse 5. Thank you. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinner in the congregation of the righteous. You can see now that a righteous man, this is their destiny. An unrighteous man, this is their destiny. Now, verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly is that do what? So if a man is acting unrighteously, you know the end. Excuse me, do you need Babalawo, Uncle Lawo, Sister Lawo, Brother Lawo, Friend Lawo to tell you that? Do you need apostles, do you need prophet or prophet to tell you that? Because it's all written in the book. The scripture cannot be broken. If I'm a proud man, your destiny is written here. The Bible says proud, go before what? Destruction. So, when you are a proud man, you know that destruction, we follow. It's as simple as that. If I'm a hardworking man, you know that you'll be rich. Because if you work hard, the Bible has told us. Number two is that God is not a respecter of person. Three, if we do what unbelievers do, we suffer what unbelievers suffer. If believers are playing plank and you are playing plank, you will suffer what they suffer. I pray that you will not suffer in life in the name of Jesus. So if I know your first service, I want to encourage you to get that step and you'll be blessed in the name of Jesus. Okay, so because of our time, we are moving, continuing on how to overcome compromise. How many did the pastor told us the first service? Five, right? Five. Okay, so I'm going to give you another five. So we start from one. Number one, set a high standard for yourself. So if you're in the first service, You can continue from number 6, or you start from number 1 as you desire. Number 1, how to overcome compromise is set a high standard for yourself. The reason Pastor told us in the first service that many people are not, the reason why people are not living up to their destiny and their destiny is not decorated is because they compromise. It's because of compromise. Compromise can be negative, compromise can be positive. But the one we are talking about is the negative kind of compromise, because define for us that compromise means accepting standard lower than what the word of God has stipulated. Accepting standard that is against the stipulated standard that the word of God has given us. So we see there that compromise is the enemy of destiny decoration. And then if you want to progress in life and want that great destiny to be fulfilled, we therefore need to set a high standard for ourselves. Set a high standard for yourself. Set a high standard for yourself. It's better to set a standard that you cannot meet than stay on the average. Set a high standard. You can decide today and say, I will not do this. You can decide, this is the path that I will follow. And I tell you, it's possible. You can decide to say, no, I will not connect bribe. You can decide to say, no, I will not give bribe. You can decide to say, no, I will not lie. These are some of the decisions that we made in life some years ago. Many decisions in my life that will not say anything behind anybody that will not be able to say in front of him. Patapata, if I say and I can talk, I will apologize. I said it, forgive me. But for me to not lie and say, no, I did not say it, far be it. You know, I was having a conversation with a lady. She supposed, you know, she actually needed a job. And they were talking, you know, the culture we find ourselves is so terrible, so corrupt. Me, an average Nigerian believe that you cannot get a job if you don't bribe. An average Nigerian believe that you cannot get a job if you don't have connection. And I was having a discussion with the lady, and she was telling me this. And I know, and I was saying that who lies to you? Who lies to you? He said, I went for that interview, I went for this, that organization, that, at the end of the day, this is what they say. I went to another, at the end of the day, this is what they say. I said, are you aware that some who got a job without bribing anybody? Are you aware? He said, in this Nigeria, it's not possible. I said, but me, I'm telling you, that is possible. You can decide. You can decide not to. I'm aware that some people pay lecturers to get admission, and they lie to you and say admission is free. Or people pay for admissions and like that, and you see, the upcoming generation, we believe that you can't get admission without paying. Maybe you don't know anybody who've gotten admission without paying. I'm one example. Maybe you're looking for somebody who have not cheated in the exam. There is. Maybe you are looking at, in this world, there is no lady that is keeping themselves. There is. There is no man that can be trusted. Huh? Don't ever tell a woman know how much you are earning. No, because once they tell them now, they begin to. I tell you, there are some men who, whatever amount you are getting, doesn't make any sense to them. They are not even ready to collect one error from you. If you love man, they will trample on you. I tell you, there are still men who value the love of their wife. Set a high standard. A young man by the name Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, suddenly find himself in a strange city called Babylon. And he went there as a slave. It wasn't his desire to conquer his nation, and he transported them to that strange land. He found himself in a different government system that he entirely different from where he's coming from. He found himself that for you to move from point one to point two, there are a lot of protocol to follow. There are a lot of rules. And these guys were to be trained. And there's no time. I wish one day I have time to preach particularly about this guy. The world will change everything about them. Everything about them. They change their dresses. They change their names. They change their culture. They change their language. They reorientate them. For 3 good years, they expose them to a different culture. They expose them to a different doctrine. They expose them to different goals. They expose them to things different. And they were to journey in that direction for the rest of their life. Brother and sister, that Nigeria is corrupt today, as they say, which is true anyway. It does. It's true. It's true. And it's Nigeria that corrupts Nigerians. There is no problem about Nigeria. The problem is with Nigerians. Now, that everything is corrupt does not mean that you should live corruptly. It doesn't mean that you should live a corrupt life. Because you are not a product of. By the way, who told you are a Nigerian? No, now, if today they came and come to you and say, "Oh, we discovered that your father, your great great grand grandfather is from Tunisia." Oh no, let me mention a city you like very well. It's from Italy. Praise the Lord. I'm very patriotic. I'm a patriotic Nigerian, but I'm not a Nigerian. You know why? Because the word of God culture me, I think, in a certain way. That sometimes I find it so hard to relate with, to talk to some people. So sometimes I just keep quiet. My Bible tells me, he said, "You are not of this world." So what remains? I have chosen you out of this world. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 said, "Don't be conformed." Chapter 12, verse 2 said, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So, meaning that if you are not careful, this world has a way to conform you, to squeeze you and mold you to a shape. But he gave us his word to renew our mind, so that we can live a different life. He said, so that if you do this, he said, you will prove the will of God, the perfect will of God. Set a high standard for yourself. You can begin now. Different men may have slept on you before now, but you can begin now. You can start now. Because in Daniel chapter 1, in verse 8, this boy said, the Bible made us understand that Daniel proposed. He determines in his heart. When he was looking at the trend, he foresee, how will I forsake God of Jerusalem? How will I forsake the true God? How will I be speaking this? Like, oh, no, go ahead. You may change my location. You may change my friend. You may change my name. You may change my dressing. You may change my language. You may change the culture. But there is one thing you cannot change. You can't change my faith. Brother and sister, God has given you sound mind. Anybody may control the amount of naira that may come to your pocket. Somebody may control the standard of living that you will live. Somebody may control your movement. They might even say you are restricted to this particular area, but that is one thing you must never allow anybody to control, is your mind. Look at Joseph. Everything in his life was controlled. He was restricted. But while in his prison, his mind was under his control. Every day he was envisaging, no, I'm going to powers. that is a dream I have, is going to be fulfilled. I'm not supposed to stay here. This is not my destination. This is not the destiny that God has for me. I know I'm going to rule. I'm going to reign. One day, two servants came in and I interpreted their dream. He told them, he said, when you get to the palace, talk about me to the king. How did he know that he's going to know? Because he knows that he's going there. He said, talk about me to him. He knows that he's going there. When the opportunity came, the man dressed up. They said, oh, yeah. King wants to say, no. I can't go like this to any the king. I need to shift. I need to change because I know that I'm going there for a change. My change has come. If God changed your level, are you sensitive enough to know that this is your time? Set a high standard, and never allow anything in this world to bring you down. Never allow it. Not even your friend, not even your family, not even your nation, not even your government. Set a high standard. You live. Decide today. See, if you do it, you will know how many people that will journey with you in life, and you will know those who will not journey with you. So the reason why you are up and down, up and down, and up and down, and you have not located yourself is because you don't have the standard set. Okay, at your level, why are people still tempting you? Why are people still tempting you with a bottle of beer? Because you don't define yourself. But you can do today. Why at your level now, with your constant coming to church, hearing the word of God, prayer, kabash, and everything, why is it that even at this present level, your friends still inviting you for a nightclub? Say, let's go and strip. At this level. Set the standard and let everybody knows. I was privileged, privileged by divine grace, to be raised in a very godly home, and I was growing up like that, but when you get to school, especially the first semester in school, I wanted to leave, understand? I wanted to mix up, and I actually did. But you see, when I entered the second year, I made up my mind, I'm going to change. This is not, how will I explain myself? This is boiled down to the fear of God. And I made up my mind. So I called my friends that we, work together. There are many of them, most of them are casual. And I said, we want to have a meeting. And I told them, you see, my name is Ebenezer. I want to tell you, praise the Lord. So my name is Ebenezer. I want to tell you that the Ebenezer you know last session is not the Ebenezer of this new session because I have changed. So today, I'm not a pastor. No, I'm not really a pastor there, but I'm not a pastor. And I say, Pasiolo. Pasiolo. Even today, one of them still calls me that. Anyone say, Pasiolo. Now, one day, I was the class rep. So one day, I stood up and I wanted to make an announcement. Everyone on there, they wanted to make fun of me. Hey, Pasiolo, Pastor. And I tell you, it was as if something, it just dawned on me that my life has changed. Everybody begins to go, oh, Pastor. When I want to do something, they tell you, Pastor. So I know, okay, I'm not supposed to do this. Tell the high standard. Tell your friend, what much you change, yo? I know they go nightclub again. Even if you have clothes, if I want to misbehave, correct me. I'm telling you, she will correct you. He will correct you. Set a high standard. Do it. That's the first step. Number two, don't play with little foxes that spoils the vine. And what do I mean by little foxes? That is sin. In Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible made us to understand that these little foxes was what destroyed the vine. It said, take up the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Your destiny is fragile, it's tender, it's great. Take away those small, small sins. Those iniquity, take it away. Take it away. Those sins, those habits that truncate destiny, remove them. Do away with them. Do away. You see, lies is very simple and very easy to tell us. But you know, do you know that lies destroy? It destroys than anything. Lies. I mean, you all know what is happening in our nation the past few weeks. You know what is happening in our nation in the past few weeks? So much so that even the leader came out and said, okay, what you are requesting, we are granting you. But this guy said, no. Because you'll be lying to us so long. We have swallowed the lie so long. Only talk is what we see. There is no action. Now you must act. With what action now? And I shook my head and said, ah! How terrible lies is. Lies makes you lose relevance before the people that esteem you. The Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is what? There is power. The king does not exercise for his word. So if the word of a king now turns to something that you cannot count on, what does the king need? What does the king have? No more power. Leaders should not seek to be feared. Leaders should seek to be respected. If you are respected, your word will be taken seriously. Take away all these lies. Take away all these things. Little things. When you make a promise, seek to fulfill it. If you can't, let the person know. All this. There are things that we do today that, you know, have a great repercussion in the future. It is why we need to be deliberate about our actions. Take away sins that can destroy your glorious status. Number three is choose your friend wisely. Choose your friends wisely. 2 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33 tells us that evil communication corrupts good manner. In other words, evil company. When you have bad friends, they corrupt. Because you see, to a greater extent, the people you move with will influence your life. To a greater level. The people, you see, if you have issues, the first person you will tell is your friend. Somebody close to you. If you want to make a decision, consciously or unconsciously, you have to consult them. And now I know that the culture has shifted. When we are talking about friendship now, it's go beyond physical friends. I know we make friends online. Those guys that you follow online influences you. They influences the way you think. They influences the way you dress. They influences the way you talk. They do to a greater extent. If we should do an X-ray or a survey, all of us are dressing nice, dressing quick, you know, classy and beautiful. If we are to do, you know, some history and just a survey, I want to be sure that some greater numbers of us, the clothes you are wearing on today, you saw it on somebody's bloody or somebody's display it, or that it's on a catalog, and you take it to your friends, I mean to your tailor to sew it for you. Am I saying the truth? Perhaps the clothes you saw and on whom you saw it, maybe you have not even seen him one-on-one. You have not seen him or her one-on-one. You just saw the picture. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying that these friends, whether casual, close, whatever acquaintances, they influence something about us. They influence us. So you have to be deliberate. So choose your friend. So choose the friends you move with. Number four is have hatred for iniquity. Have hatred for iniquity. God just told me about somebody that made a decision today. God has me to tell you that he's going to help you to ensure that you live in that path that you are choosing today in the name of Jesus. Have hatred for iniquity. Have hatred for iniquity. Psalm 45 verse 7. This is one of the most powerful scripture by a child of God to know. It said, thou loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Somebody say, Ororo, you don't know. Is that because you love righteousness? And that you hate wickedness? This is why I'm anointing you. Have hatred for sin. Have hatred for iniquity. Hate it with passion. Don't condone it. Don't condone it. Whatever you allow will continue. Whatever you don't resist will exist. And whatever you don't exist, you will live by. You have to cope with it. It is why I don't like sickness. Because, you know, I was reading a book, a very powerful book, and the author said something. He said, if you cannot solve your problem, manage your problem. And I love that book. Most times when I read something like that, I quickly throw that away. But you know, I love that book. I've been reading it, and there are some good things in it. So I said, okay, for me not to be tempted to read it again, I took my permanent marker and I erased it. Come on, don't tell me to cope with problem. What are you telling me? That is a problem. You are telling me to manage it. Manage what? Somebody is sick. And the sickness is about to kill the person. And you say, manage it. So in other words, you are addressing it. You are addressing it. Manage it. I say something to go out. Manage. I refuse to manage poverty. I refuse to manage sickness. I refuse to manage. I refuse to accept what the world is pushing at me. Manage what? So I'm saying, hate iniquity, hate wickedness. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. You know, my wife is here. We stay together when we're in school, we stay in the same house. In the morning, you know, we organize prayer, people go to prayer. There was a boy who was living close to me, who was staying in a room close to me. And this guy liked women, different ladies. Though in the night, you will not be able to sleep. So I wake up in the night. I said, I need to address this thing spiritually. I pray, in the daytime, I would say, if you don't allow me to sleep again, if you don't allow me to sleep, I'm going to frustrate you. To come the long story short, he didn't finish his money before he exited the house, that room. And I parked inside that room. I stayed there. I parked inside that room until I graduated. Praise the Lord. Have hatred for iniquity. And lastly, have a teachable spirit. Have a teachable spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. The Bible says that the word of God is given to us through the inspiration of God to teach us. Say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is the purpose of the word of God. To reprove us, to correct us, to teach us. To have a teachable spirit when you have been taught on how to live a godly life. Accept it. When you are being corrected, accept it. And I see God taking you to a level whereby your destiny is going to be gloriously decorated in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a powerful amen?
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.